You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Up next, our weekly election protection bulletin with best-selling author and BBC contributor Greg Palast. Stay tuned.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
Welcome to the Election Protection Bulletin, the best democracy money can buy, with noted investigative reporter and best-selling author Greg Palast. I'm Dennis Bernstein. This episode stars Bill and Hillary, the Entergy company, ex-con named Webster Hubble, and an ethnic Chinese billionaire from Indonesia. Welcome, Greg. Let's start with this ex-con, who is also a former Associate Attorney General, Mr. Webster Hubble.
Yes, Webster Hubble is very important. He was basically a counsel to a lawyer for Bill Clinton. And before he was went to the White House, he was one of the heads of the Rose Law Firm. And his associate, his assistant, was a woman named Hillary, went by the name of Hillary Rodham at the time. Now, why is this important? Because you'd rather hear it from me than from Trump. So I did an investigation for The Guardian some years ago, and here's what we found. Webster Hubble went from the White House and the Justice Department to federal prison. He did it because he was charged with, and he pled guilty, to faking his billing records at his law firm. He made up hours that he didn't actually work. Now, since his associate with Hillary, and he has said cryptically, all lawyers cheat on their hours, did he mean also his associate? And in fact, if you're going to cheat on your hours, one of the things you do is you make up, say, billing time with your assistant. So was Hillary also involved in the go-to-jail crime of faking your law firm billing records? Interestingly, it was hard to find out because Webster Hubble pled guilty, and instead of turning in the first lady, suddenly the billing records went missing. And they were only found later, just outside Bill and Hillary's White House bedroom in the West Wing, after Hubble was safely ensconced in federal prison. The question becomes, why in the world wouldn't Hubble save his own skin, obviously by turning in Hillary Clinton as part of his billing co-conspiracy? What happened to these billing records and what were they about? And it might have something to do. So go ahead, Dennis. What's on your mind?
That's where the Riotti family comes in. Very interesting family. Talk a little bit about them and why Hubble, what that has to do with Hubble's silence and willingness to go to jail.
Yes. Well, the Riotti family is a family of billionaires from Indonesia, Chinese ethnics, and they wanted to open up a whole power plant operation in China using our money, U.S. Treasury money from the Export-Import Bank. Now, the Riottis are somewhat more important than you or I, Dennis, because they met, according to White House records, listen to this, 98 times with the president, with Bill Clinton. So the Riottis met 98 times with Clinton. I got those records in my investigation. And interestingly, is the week of June 22nd through 27th. What happened is that the Riottis were bouncing back and forth between the XM with the Import-Export Bank, where they were looking for U.S. Treasury money, and the White House, back and forth, and in between also meeting with Webster Hubble. And Hubble was already on his way to the Huskow, to prison. And they hired Hubble. Imagine, they hired a confessed felon on his way to prison as a consultant for $100,000. And altogether, Clinton associates hired Hubble on his way to prison to be their consultant from federal prison for $500,000. So his time in federal prison was made a little more comfortable by the $500,000 that was sent his way while he was serving his time for faking his billing records at the Rose Law Firm. The question is, was this a payoff for Hubble's silence? And did the president and Hillary know about the payments? He told, just so you know, he told Mike Isikoff, the president told Mike Isikoff of Newsweek that he did not ever speak with the Riottis in all those meetings about Webster Hubbell. But when he was questioned by the FBI, Bill Clinton, under oath, he said, quote, "I wouldn't be surprised if James Riotti had told me about the payments to Hubble." So that was when he was under oath.
By the way, was Riotti staying in the White House at the time?
Because
another
big
player in this is former Commerce Secretary, the late Ron Brown. So being that he was there 98 times, you would think he had a room in the White House.
Well, that you don't get. The Motel 6 in the Lincoln bedroom would cost you Hillary Clinton, according to Ron Brown, who was the head of the Democratic Party, then became Commerce Secretary, came up with the idea of charging $100,000 a night to stay in the Lincoln bedroom, and probably $120,000 if you got companionship. No, I made that up.
Where's Tom Baudet when you need him?
Yeah, so it's $100,000 to stay to check into the hotel White House. And it was $10,000 to have a cup of coffee with the president. Ron Brown, the Commerce Secretary, is very upset about this deal because also in the deal was that he would take the Riotti family and others to China on his trade missions for $50,000 a pop. And he said, "Oh, I can't use this on a family radio show." He said, "I'm not Hillary Clinton's mother blanking tour guide," because he was upset that she was only charging $50,000 to go along with the Commerce Secretary on his China trips. So this is part of the deal here. So you have to ask, why didn't Ken Starr, right, who was sniffing at Bill Clinton's zipper and looking at stains on green dresses and doing all this Lewinsky stuff,
who just lost his job, by the way, we should point out, who just lost.
Yes. And but you have to ask, like, why would the Republicans go after something like stains on a dress and funny business under the Oval Office desk when they had something involving obstruction of justice, that is, the apparent look of a payment to keep a criminal silent about his co-conspirator, Hillary Clinton? Okay, if that's what happened, that's what it looks like. Why didn't they go after that obvious thing? And the answer is Coke.
The Coke brothers. Yeah. By the way, they're a new sponsor of NPR. I don't know if you knew
National
that, right?
Petroleum Radio.
Yeah, they're now listed in their little commercial breaks and non-commercial radio. The Cokes are contributors.
Yeah, the news goes better with Coke, and for them too. And so what's happened is here's what happened. Here's how the Cokes got involved in this whole business with Riotti and Hubble. And this is Greg Palast, by the way, giving you all this story of the billionaires, which is all going to come back, And and so what happened was is that here's where the Cokes jump in. In 1994, 96, they were using a cutout group called Triad to make contributions from Coke Industries to Republican congressional candidates. This is how Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House. He was running these smear campaigns. This Operation Triad was using a front. Keep track of this, people. They were using a front called Committee for Our Children's Future to attack vulnerable Democrats in 25 districts. All those Democrats lost because they'd never seen anything like this, this onslaught of vicious ads just a week before the midterm elections, including one Democratic congressman who was accused of beating his wife. It was true, but, you know, it's not nice to mention that on the air. And also in Kansas, they were doing push polling saying Jill Docking was running against the Republican Brownback, who's governor now. He was running for Senate then, and they asked people, would you vote for Jill Docking if you knew she was Jewish? This was all funded by the Koch brothers, okay? The result was that 25 Democrats went down unexpectedly in the midterm elections. It was funded by Koch Industries through a cutout called Triad. And by the way, this is before Citizens United. That meant this was a felony crime.
Amazing.
So this is how the Koch brothers get involved, because you now have billionaires illegally funding funding the Republican candidates and getting Newt Gingrich elected Speaker.
Right,
on the other side.
Let me just jump in and let people know you are listening to the Election Protection Bulletin, the best democracy money can buy. That's the voice of Greg Palast. I'm Dennis Bernstein, and there's a lot more to come. Go, Greg.
So on one hand, we have the Kochs, who have illegally funded congressional attack ads, congressional campaigns through their corporation Koch Industries through a cutout called Triad, which was giving money to something called Campaign for Our Children's Future, or Committee for Our Children's Future. And that elected Newt Gingrich as Speaker of the House. On the other hand, you have Clinton, who is panicked about the Riottis giving $100,000 to Webster Hubble to be a consultant on his way to federal prison. And he's astonishingly silent about his former law associate, Hillary Clinton, and the faked billing hours, which is a felony crime. So now you've got Republicans in trouble for taking illegal money. You've got Democrats in trouble for paying what could be a hush money, obstruction of justice. So all the makings of a deal, Dennis. I got the information from the people at these meetings, by the way, and I published this in The Guardian. Guys, there was, according to the people in the room, Senator Trent Lott, who was the majority leader of the Senate, Republican, went to the White House representatives and says, let's make a deal. We don't touch your billionaires. You don't touch our billionaires. This is the quote, a truce. You don't do Triad and we don't do the Clintons. In other words, you don't go after the Koch brothers and we don't go after Riotti. And that was a deal that was made. Both parties are happy to protect each other's billionaires. And that's the game that's played in Washington. It was to me, I almost fell out of my chair. I'm used to the usual, I kind of suspected it, but sure enough.
The perfect marriage of convenience. Amazing.
This is a problem.
All right. So then what happened December 31st, that fateful day, 1998?
So, how do you shake a hand on a deal that we don't, the Republicans said we won't go after your illegal, filthy money from the Indonesian Chinese billionaires. You don't go after the Koch brothers and we're all happy. There was one problem, a guy named Senator Fred Thompson, Republican from Tennessee, and he'd played a prosecutor on television so often that he actually thought he was one. And so he had actually issued subpoenas to the Koch brothers. You have to understand it. He wanted to drag Charles and David and all their retinue into the Senate Government Investigations Committee and grill them on their funny money into these into Triad and all their other fake Koch fronts and basically set them up for real hard time. At the same time, he wanted to go after the money coming from this Indonesian Chinese family. And then he was told by Trent Lott, your committee on December 31, 1998, your committee is now shut down, buddy. And the subpoenas were all quashed. The Koch said, we're not appearing. And Trent Lott said, you didn't have to. And don't worry about Fred Thompson. He's had all his powers stripped from him. And that's why people were wondering why Fred Thompson resigned from the Senate, because basically they castrated him as chairman of the Investigations Committee. So he just, he didn't blow the whistle. He just said, I'm out of here.
I'm going to where I can get some serious law and order on television.
Exactly. Right.
So if people want to find out more about this story or related stories, what's the best way to go?
Well, always go to www.gregpalast.com for the latest of investigative material. Keep tuned to these podcasts, which you're going to be doing every week, our Election Crimes Bulletin. And the story of the Riottis and the Kochs, the real story that you don't get on National Petroleum Radio, you can get at in the book Billionaires and Ballot Bandits by Greg Palast, Bobby Kennedy, and with comics by Ted Rawls. So Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, which you can get at www.gregpalast.com. And we'll be talking about those investigations every week.
All right, we'll be talking to you soon, Greg. Be careful.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
I just gotta get through this. If only I can get out of here.